Welcome to the Compliance Perspectives Podcast. I'm Adam Turtletaub from the Society of Corporate Compliance and Ethics and Healthcare Compliance Association. Coming to us today from McLean, Virginia is Michael Levin. Michael is the Senior Director of Compliance at Freddie Mac in McLean, Virginia. Michael, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today.
My pleasure. Thank you, Adam.
So we're going to talk today about compliance when it's part of an overall enterprise risk management program. First, it's important to note that this isn't a theoretical discussion. The compliance program at Freddie Mac has been moved into enterprise risk. Michael, what led to the change?
Well, our goal is to operate as effectively as the strongest financial institutions in the world. And most financial institutions operate using a three lines of defense risk framework where the business that creates the risk is the first line. The areas that oversee risk management and provide effective challenge to the business are the second line, and the independent auditor is the third line of defense. Several years ago, we began to implement such a three lines of defense framework at Freddie Mac, and over the course of that enterprise transformation, we realized that practically speaking, both enterprise risk management and compliance operate as second lines of defense. Therefore, it made sense to combine these two functions under one executive leader to ensure an efficient approach to managing risk. So we view compliance risk as one of several operational risks, and aligning the compliance function within ERM provides better integration to the first line, and therefore we reduce the number of times a second line function touches the first line. So as a result, the first line has clearer expectations and lower risk of multiple and non-coordinated demands from the second line. So it's easier for them to manage risk and to be in compliance.
Right, and obviously, the more that you can get the front line, the business unit, to understand what the risks are and try and, well, avoid the dangerous stuff, the better. Now, there are those who are concerned about these kinds of changes, about moving compliance into risk. I mean, you can have a risk tolerance for a lot of business decisions, but it's hard to justify a risk tolerance for violating the law. For those who have that concern, would you say that it's real or overblown?
I'm not sure these concerns about risk tolerance are really warranted. Every business decision includes a risk consideration, an assessment of the level of risk a particular action or activity poses to the enterprise, both the inherent risk of the action or activity, and then a consideration of the residual risk to the enterprise in light of any controls that might exist to mitigate the inherent risk. Of course, I'm not advocating that you can justify violating the law, but you should build an obligations library of all the laws and regulations that apply to your business, and then you should determine the impact that violating those laws have on your business. You have to identify the level to which your organization must create controls to address the risk from those legal obligations. So, for example, every company where I've worked recognized the risk of corruption and bribery from working in a global environment. Those companies built expansive control environments around the Foreign Corrupt Practices Act and the UK Bribery Act. But what if, like at Freddie Mac, your business operates solely in the United States? The FCPA still applies to us, but our risk is very low. We have some international investors that could be state-owned banks, and a small number of our employees meet with them annually. But given the nature of this risk, we monitor when those employees are traveling internationally and ensure they are aware of the risks and the rules of the road. But our rigor is considerably less than a multinational enterprise with a broad global reach. It's not a matter that we tolerate violating the FCPA. It's that we've assessed our risk exposure and found it lower than other risks.
And then I assume by extension, obviously, allocate resources accordingly.
Absolutely.
So how do you help people who have spent their career in risk understand that compliance is a different animal? We talk about risks, but we're looking at it from a different way than those, you know, in risk management traditionally have.
And that's the million-dollar question, and it may be the biggest challenge. And I don't know that I have the silver bullet or the answer for it. But what I can tell you is this. Risk professionals tend to look at the world as black and white, while compliance and ethics deals in shades of gray, when we live in the shades of gray. Risk professionals tend to focus on risk events, whereas compliance focuses on employee behavior and conduct. And so risk professionals, they speak a different language. They talk about taxonomies and risk frameworks, whereas we talk about culture and raising awareness and setting expectations. So highlighting those differences is the best way to help folks in risk understand that we're a different animal.
Interesting. Interesting. And then do they start to pick it up after a while?
Well, it's a work in progress at Freddie Mac. I think they do, and I think they are. But you know, the proof is always in the pudding at the end of the day. And in my organization, we're not at the end of the day yet.
Okay. So now let's talk, you know, we talked a little bit about the challenges there and sort of the education you need to do. What about what you've learned from them? I mean, have you found that you benefited from this in a new reporting relationship or structure?
First, I think many organizations will agree it's sometimes challenging to build bridges to the business areas, which are always focused inwardly on achieving their business objectives. Many of those business areas have well-established operating rhythms with enterprise risk management teams. So a byproduct of compliance is our positioning within ERM now is that we get the benefit of the ERM to business operating rhythms. It's a lever we can pull to help us deliver results. Also, working alongside of the risk folks has broadened my personal network across our enterprise. Just the more people you know and know you, the easier it can be to get things accomplished. Also, I think we have more visibility. Compliance now has more visibility with the board of directors due to the ERM and compliance partnership. Compliance historically reports up into the audit committee of the board, whereas ERM reports to the risk committee. So now we have visibility to both. And I've always viewed greater visibility as having a multiplying effect for our efforts. And finally, the last benefit or an additional benefit, I think, of this reporting relationship is becoming more familiar with how the risk professionals approach risk management allows me to look at my core responsibilities with an additional lens and think critically about how I execute my function. And I think this lens enables greater innovation.
Yeah, well, it's I definitely see how having that ability to look at things differently, you know, really does end up showing you a lot. And it was funny as you were talking about leveraging their relationship with the business units. I can think of a podcast I did a while ago with someone who came from internal audit into compliance and said, you know, when you walk on into somebody's door and say you're from internal audit, they're sort of used to it. When you say they're compliance, he was shocked at how much fear he saw in people's eyes. even though there was no need for it, being able to say you're part of risk can probably get them to open up a lot more. Has the risk management folks' way of thinking helped you think about compliance differently and better? You know, it's funny, I wrote this question before. You've already addressed, said yes, because you get a different perspective. I mean, are there some good examples you can give or anything to sort of illuminate that further?
I think just at a high level, I'm forced to be more regimented in my approach to a lot of things, knowing that I'm going to have to communicate the results of my compliance and ethics activities to the senior risk folks, in addition to everybody else I've always reported to. So I just have to, you know, that regimentation makes me think a little more specifically about how I do reporting, whereas, you know, the old reporting may not be good enough. So that's one additional thing.
One follow-up question. You've been in compliance for a lot of years, worked in a lot of different industries as an in-house compliance officer, worked as a vendor. When you think back at what your thinking was before, what you've seen at our meetings, other conferences you've gone to, what do you think is some of the biggest misunderstandings about risk as a whole that you've seen in the compliance community and ways people can really start improving their thinking so that they get a better handle on risk management?
Well, I think fundamentally, at least from my experience, and maybe I'm unique, I probably not, but I was always so head down focused on compliance and ethics and running an ethics program. And I knew the risk folks, but I wasn't well versed in what they did on a daily basis. And being part of them now has forced me to better understand their objectives, long term and short term, and how they interact with the business. And that's allowed me a broader perspective of how the business thinks about the decisions they make when starting a new initiative, for instance. And whereas for new business initiatives, we in compliance might get pulled to the table at one point or another to talk about any compliance ramifications of what they're planning on doing, we weren't at the table talking about all the risk ramifications of what they might be thinking about doing. And so I have the partnership with Risk has allowed me a better understanding of holistically how the organization thinks about risk and how the business thinks about risk when they engage in their day-to-day operations.
Well, you know, it sounds from this like it's also being a part of this process, you know, enables you to get to the table sooner and be more a part of the decision making as it happens rather than sort of this is what we've decided. What's the problems that we're not thinking of?
Yeah, I think that's fair to say.
Okay, Michael, thank you so much. I think there's a lot of insights here for anyone in compliance, whether they're part of a risk management structure or not. I want to thank all of you for taking the time to listen today. I'm Adam Turteltaub from SCCE and HCCA saying, I hope we were able to expand your compliance perspective.